What's your name, sir?
My name is A. Adams.
Mr. Adams. Anybody else, Mr. Evans? I don't think I do.
I'm looking for him.
Oh, just one moment, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at me.
Eddie Adams, right?
Yes, sir.
That's me.
The Honorable Mr. Neal will serve as the lead panelist, sir. So just hold on.
Okay, Mr. Adams, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Okay, my name is Eddie Ross Adams, 232444.
Thank you, sir. And before we go to sir, just as we are having some technical difficulties today, so if at any time you can't hear or understand what we're saying, please let us know so we can clarify that, okay?
All right.
Okay. And you can hear me okay right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, good afternoon, sir. We're appearing for the Illinois Board of Executive Clemency in reference to your community supervision revocation this afternoon. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing now. We have the Honorable Dale Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, and my name is David Neal. I'll be the panel lead today. Also in the room, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing and the date and time of the hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay. This time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And do you so affirm?
I do.
I do.
So your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And if they have been, in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the two allegations that are listed on your warrant. On your warrant, there's also a booking number and a report number listed. So I'm going to give you three options after I read each one. Option one is to say it's true. Option two is to say it's false. And if you do that, we will get more information from Mr. Westby and discuss it. And the third option is to plead the Fifth Amendment. The reason for the third option is because our hearings are recorded and public information, so anything that you say in this hearing room could be used by a prosecutor in a court of trial, okay?
All right,
so allegation number one is a violation of the conditional supervision number five, as demonstrated by you being in possession of 0.9 grams of methamphetamine on March 26, 2018. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
False.
Okay, and then allegation number two, we'll talk to Mr. Westby after we cover both allegations. Allegation number two is violation of Arizona condition of supervision number five, as demonstrated by you being in possession of a glass pipe commonly used with illegal drug activity on March 26, 2018. That true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
False.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, since you say they're false, we'll ask Mr. Westby to give us some information about those two allegations. Mr. Westby, allegation number one, please.
March 27, 2018, Senior Officer Collins received a telephone call from the offender's girlfriend, April Kuhn. Ms. Kuhn stated the defendant was arrested on March 26, 2018 for drug paraphernalia. On March 26, 2018, Cochise County Sheriff's Department Deputy C. Larimer, number 1417, and K-9 Manny conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle the offender was a passenger in. K-9 Manny alerted to the owner of illicit substances. The vehicle was searched and a gray bandana was found between the seat and the passenger's side panel. The bandana contained a white crystallized substance. The substance was field tested and determined to be 0.09 grams of methamphetamine. Defendant was transported and booked into Cochise County Jail for a new felony, possession of a dangerous drug.
Thank you, sir. So, since you're willing to discuss this, what is false about that, sir?
The fact that it was mine, it wasn't mine, it wasn't in my possession. I had no knowledge of it even being in the vehicle. I was just getting a ride home from my IOP class.
Okay, so where were you sitting in the car?
I was sitting in the back seat.
Back seat, passenger side, driver side?
Passenger side, back seat.
Okay, right next to the window?
Yes.
Okay, so where was this bandana found? It
was found in between the seat and the panel. Wow. I had no knowledge of it being there.
But it was right there between the seat and the door panel, right where you were sitting?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it there when I got in the vehicle to sit down. I didn't know it was there until the officer presented it to me.
Okay.
Because if I knew it was there, I would have never got in the vehicle, because I've been doing really good with my parole, and I've been on the street narrow, and I'm trying to stay that way.
Okay, sir. All right, well, we're going to move on to allegation number two now. Mr. Rusby?
March 27th, 2018, Senior Parole Officer Collins received a telephone call from defendant's girlfriend, April Kuhn. Ms. Kuhn stated the defendant was arrested on March 26, 2018 for drug paraphernalia. On March 26, 2018, Cochise County Sheriff's Department, Deputy C. Larimer, number 1417, and K-9 Manny conducting a traffic stop on a vehicle defendant was a passenger in. K-9 Manny alerted to the odor of illicit substances. The vehicle was searched and a gray bandana was found between the seat and passenger side panel. The bandana contained a glass smoking device with burn marks. The defendant was transported and booked into Cochise County Jail for a new felony possession of paraphernalia.
Thank you, sir. So, because that sounds like the pipe was found in the same bandana with the
bird. Yeah, it was all found together. The pipe was loaded with white crystal substance that they supposedly claimed was 0.9 tenths of a gram. That's all they found was a loaded pipe. But they're claiming the substance in the pipe and the pipe as possession and paraphernalia. They broke it into two. But I did not have any knowledge of it being in that place until the officer presented it to me. Once again, if I knew it was in the vehicle, I would not have gotten in the vehicle.
Okay, what are the questions?
They hit me with possession for within the vicinity of it.
Okay.
Is how the charge is written out. Possession within the vicinity, not direct possession. It was not mine.
Okay, so when you got in the car, were there any other passengers in the back seat?
No, there was just the driver, his girlfriend in the front seat, so that's why I had to sit in the back seat.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to move this forward at this point in time. And based on the information that we received from Department of Corrections in regards to the police report involving this on allegation number one and allegation number two, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Adams was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of the supervision, and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second,
I wasn't about to lapse at all, man. I passed every single one of my UAs. I worked for 4 years.
Sir?
I'm sorry.
Okay. You will have an opportunity to speak more in a couple of minutes, but there's a procedure to follow. We appreciate that you cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the motion was by myself, Mr. Neal. Ms. Rittenhouse seconded the motion, and Dr. White agreed. Okay, sir, we're going to move into phase two, but before we actually get there, Mr. Rusty is going to give us some background information, and then we'll move forward. So I want you to stay on the phone, listen to the information, and I'll get right back to you, okay?
All right.
Mr. Rusby.
On November 6, 2017, Mr. Adams was released from DOC. He was arrested March 26, 2018 by Cochise County Sheriff's Office on new felony charges of possession of dangerous drugs and possession of drug paraphernalia. He was back in DOC custody April 11, 2018, with a projected CSD of July 6, 2018, 0 absconded days. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated DUI, 2 years. Prior convictions, 2008, theft, 1 year. 2014, burglary, 3rd degree, 1.5 years. 2014, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2015, drug paraphernalia, 1.5 years. 2015, burglary, 2nd degree, 3 years. This is his second term in DOC. CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2009, TIS release completion, 1.5 months. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with disorderly conduct noted. Other arrests, 2009, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. He's had several drug-related charges, arrest since then, however, charges were either not filed or dismissed. His community risk score is a G2-B3.
Do you have a disposition on?
I didn't receive anything from the parole officer, but I can look that up here real quick. I just noticed that there was nothing attached. There's an entry here in Ames that says, per jail, the local charges were not filed, and he was ready for pickup. So it appears that the charges are not filed by the county attorney's office.
Okay. So as far as we know at this point in time, there's nothing pending.
No, there's nothing.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Adams. Now we're into phase two. I'm going to go over a quick summary of the case supervision. And for your approval, with your girlfriend, sponsor April Coon, and did you stay there the entire time you were out?
Yes.
Okay, and you employed at Buddy's Handyman Services?
Yeah, I had just started that job 2 weeks prior to this incident. Okay. I just got my first paycheck so I could finally be able to pay my parole fees at the date.
Okay, well, it's committed that you got a job, and to be a handyman is, like my dad used to call it, a jack of all trades, so.
Yeah, that's exactly what I am.
You have to have a lot of knowledge, got a lot of different things to be successful in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for programming, looked like you had swab samples, tasks, that were negative on December 11, 2017 and March 12, 2018. But then let's see here, November 8, 2018, you were referred to Alliance Counseling and Treatment Services for Substance Abuse Relapse Prevention. Did you attend those counseling sessions, sir?
Yes, I did. I attended every class except for I have one class left that this incident had occurred and prevented me from completing the course. But when I get out, I plan on reapplying because I really like the classes. They were helping with my sobriety because I've been sober for 4 years and I'm planning on staying sober.
Okay, sir. That is very commendable. Because we don't know that there's any charges pending and you didn't seem willing to discuss it.
No, the charges were dismissed against me.
Okay. The incident in the car. So a friend of yours was driving the car and his girlfriend was in the front seat with him, right?
Yes.
Okay, and is this have you known this friend of yours or his girlfriend in the past to be the partakers of illegal substances?
No, I've never known him to be into that. that, I knew his girlfriend, the Yusu, she was in rehab. She was the only one who got released from the scene. But she was sitting in the seat right in front of me, so I don't know. I didn't think to ask them if they had anything in the car. I just asked him if he could give me a ride home for my class, and he said he could, and that's the only reason I was in the car in the first place.
Okay. Well, and there was, but there were no other passengers in the backseat at the time.
No, there was not.
And I mean, the thought process I can imagine the deputy was using is that you're sitting right there, we're stuck between the seat and door panel, we're no other passengers in the back seat. And,
yeah.
If when the traffic stop was initiated, if somebody would have stuck it there to hide it, and it was, say, the girlfriend or somebody in the front seat, you would have had knowledge they did it. It's hard to imagine that somebody that has that much methamphetamine would accidentally leave it stuffed in between the seat and the side panel if they been in the car earlier and got out of the car. So it's, I can understand the thought process that the deputy must have gone through to make.
Yeah, well, it's turned out the driver, he got hit with 6 felony charges. He had multiple different drugs in his possession. So it is possible that he put it there and had forgot about it, because that's what he told me he did when we were in jail together. But it's not like that would help me now, because he's not really a credible witness. He got hit with probation, and I got violated for doing really good. So I'm the one who got screwed over here, so.
So you're saying he told you that was his?
Yeah, he told me that it was his. He even tried taking claim for it with the sheriffs, but the sheriffs told him no. We're getting both of you for possession and paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. And they took us both in. And I told them, I'll take a U-Way right now to prove it's not mine. And they didn't give me a U-Way. They took me to the jail, and they searched me, and they found out there was no more drugs, so they told me they weren't going to hit me with the charges, and I haven't been hit with the charges. Because they were after the driver. They raided his house and his mom's house the moment they had us in cuffs.
Okay, well, it was
just a bad circumstance. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay, but you understand that the way the law is, that anybody in that car can be held accountable for any drugs that are found in that car.
Yes, I am aware of that. It was my fault for not asking if there was anything in the vehicle before I got there.
Well, but you knew, you say you don't, haven't known of him having drug problems, but you knew his girlfriend did, so.
Yeah, I knew his girlfriend did, and I knew she was in rehab.
Okay,
but
all I'm saying is that should have been, because you're out on release, that should have been an indication to you that, well, I shouldn't be around her. Because if she's a drug user, it's a violation of my term of release to be around her. So, okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Okay.
No questions?
No, sir.
Okay, sir, there's no questions from the board members at this time, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. Would I give an opportunity to make a final statement? Tell us anything else you think might be pertinent to our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat information that you've already given to us, and that's time consideration.
My parole officer told me to let the parole board know that the sheriffs and the judge were under the impression that I was on parole for the aggravated DUI. I don't understand the circumstances of that, but that's what Ms. Collins told me to let the parole board know, that they were under the impression I was on parole for a DUI when that's not the case.
What is the case?
I don't know. That's just how she put it to me.
I'm not sure
what I'm on parole for.
What was the sentence you were serving when you were released?
Yes.
No, what was it? Aggravated DUI?
No, my parole was for the burglary, the 3-year burglary. Because the parole for my DUI got waived because I have 4 years of probation that I have to do as soon as my parole ends.
Okay.
So regardless, I'm continuing on paper. That's why I'm so adamant about doing good out there right now and going to all my classes and getting a steady job, and I've been doing really good with it all.
Okay.
And that's been, it's been my whole focus. It's been like I had two follow-ups with April, my girlfriend. She's been on my back about everything I've been doing to make sure I stay straight, which is really awesome. And then Miss Collins has been a really good parole officer. I've had nothing but good visits with her the past 7 years. I've taken in the past 4 years. I've really enjoyed my sobriety. I'm not letting anything change that. This incident was just, you know, a bad judgment call on my part. That's all it really was.
Okay. What I can explain is that as far as what you were on the lease for, we don't always have specific information. We have to go by, you know, what we do get, and it's not always clear if there's more than one sentence out there. But I do know that a lot of times on ADUIs, there's a short jail sentence and a long probation sentence.
Yeah.
So, okay. I thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We ask that you stay on the phone. You can listen to the entire discussion and the decision. We just ask that you remain silent, and we'll be talking amongst ourselves, but just remain silent and listen to what's going on, okay?
All right.
Thank you, sir. But we're going to discuss. This is actually an interesting case. I understand why the whole stop could have been done the way it was done, and arrest being made. If it's, as far as we know, there's nothing pending. Mr. Adams said he dismissed, but Mr. Westby, the information he got is that it's, there doesn't appear to be anything pending on that, which I would imagine be indicates that the prosecutor decided that there probably wasn't enough for a good conviction on it. Most of everything with Mr. Adams actually seems pretty good. There's no real violations other than that stop. I do have to say it was very poor choice on his part to take a ride in a car with a person that he knew had a drug problem, because that runs right into conditions of supervision. But overall, with the drug stop, the association, and the bad decision making, I'm not inclined to return Mr. Adams to community supervision at this time. He only has till July 6th to finish his term anyway, and in that time I think we better serve to make a good plan so that he can avoid this type of behavior when he gets out and be successful and not relapse into drugs. But I'm willing to listen to discussion from any of my fellow board members. Okay. Based on all the information in order number 2018W0927, information we received from the Department of Corrections on the two allegations in our discussion, I would move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Adams as he was delinquent, violated terms condition of supervision, and had lapse or without the lapse in the current ways or companies, specifically associating with somebody who knows was a violator, and that in itself is a violation of terms and conditions. So that is my motion.
Second.
Okay, motion by myself, Mr. Neal, seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, and reaffirmed by that way. Okay, Mr. Adams, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. However, you will be released on about July 6th of 2018. You won't have a PO to be responsible to. You'll be done with the Department of Corrections as long as you behave yourself. And you will have any or because any probations or anything like that that you have out there will be beginning at that time. So, you know, from that aspect, you'll have somebody to report to, I guess, for a short period of time. But it won't be quite the same terms and conditions as you have under this type of release, but there will be terms and conditions. You just have to maintain your good attitude and don't make poor decisions about associating with people that are, let's say, less than good character. So, are there any questions, sir?
Nope.
All right, thank you, sir. We do wish you the best of luck. Try to make a good plan so that when you're out, you can continue to work and stay away from people and undesirables and be a success in life. And this will end your hearing, sir. And please put the CO3 back on the phone.
Yeah.